in studio with us today, John Howard, to talk about his candidacy for re-election to the Bartow County School Board. Welcome to WBHF.
Thank you very much, Ernestine. I really appreciate the opportunity to come and speak on my behalf today. And I would like to start with a little conversation.
Sure.
I have a commitment to the school system in this community. I support the Bartow Education Foundation, Special Olympics, Backpack Buddies, Empty Bowls, Good Neighbor Homeless Shelter, Carsville Library, High School Booster Clubs, and TELUS, to name a few. What do all these organizations have in common? They support our children, and I support them. I have proven in my last 8 years on the board that I have a commitment to the 14,000 children in Bartow County Schools, and I'm running again to complete my mission of making it a better system than it was when I arrived. Because as a Christian, God has taught me to be an acceptable sacrifice, to help others and have a passion for children, for they are our future. He expects our best, and we owe it to Him and to these children for all that we have come that comes from Him.
Thank you for the opening statement. I'm going to just jump right into it, John.
Yes, ma'am.
According to the Governor's Office of Student Achievement, Bartow County has a C. And in many areas, we're scoring higher than other districts. But in the areas of graduation and third grade reading level, our graduation rate, according to this data, is 83.4%. And our third grade reading level is at 54.5%. Can you talk about actions that have been taken since you've been on the board to improve in those areas, or actions that you see need to be taken to improve in those areas?
Well, I will first start with the graduation rate. I've been on the board almost 8 years, and when we started, the graduation rate was 66%. It is now, like you said, close to 83% or a little over 3%. I think the important thing that we've done is something, for example, the College and Career Academy. It gets students engaged in something that they're familiar with and something they have an interest in, and it allows them to explore that and to be able to graduate. I mean, if they're interested and engaged, they're going to graduate. And we have such wonderful things there that aren't college. You know, everybody can't go to college. Everybody doesn't want to go to college. And there was a pendulum swing to where, you know, No Child Left Behind, the hope where they wanted everybody to go to college. Well, the truth was that when they got there, those kids had no interest and wanted to be there. So then they find themselves with no life skills and no training. So the nice thing about the Career Academy is we offer simple things like welding and public safety and nursing. And those are skills that those students can learn and, you know, right out of high school, get a job, graduate and get a job. And so I think that's a wonderful thing for the graduation rate to improve. And different things like one-to-one laptop for all students. That's something that we've done to get them engaged, to get them to want to learn, to get them to graduate. Because we, as you know, get graded upon graduation rate and numbers and CCRPI scores and all these things that we're graded on. So anything we can do to engage those students is what's going to make them successful. And so the Career Academy is just one of the things we've done. Now, when it comes to the reading levels, unfortunately, you know, since I've been on the board, we've been in survival mode. We've cut $16 million out of the budget. And as a result of that, we've just been trying to do what we can do. Is that an excuse? No. But it's a fact. And then the great thing that I had the opportunity is being a part of the hiring of the new superintendent. And Dr. Page came to us and laid out these scores and said, look, I know that these are great communities, and I know that you're a great school system, so why is one elementary school doing better than the other? And he said, so what we need to do is focus on what is going right in those elementary schools so that we can share that information with those other elementary schools. And it was like he got it. And, you know, sometimes we get caught in a trend of just kind of doing what you're doing, and you're working on scores. And obviously the state changes things back. So, you know, a lot of times you're checking more boxes, and by the time you get done checking the boxes, you know, you don't have time for the kids. So I'm excited for that. I think that that's going to be a way for this school system to instantly look at those because his experiences that he's had before. And, you know, when it comes from, the, you know, it's not always a top-down thing, but at least he's willing to say, hey, I see that y'all have some issues we need to work at. So let's get them fixed. And we all agree that reading by third grade is so important. In our society, you know, they leave it up, unfortunately, a lot of times it's left up to the school system when kids come in kindergarten and can't read or don't have sight words. And so there's challenges, and some of them are internal and some are external, but I'm really excited about the new superintendent coming in and helping us with those.
Okay. You mentioned the budget, and I read some of your campaign literature,
yes,
and you take pride in eliminating or the budget, some of the dollars from the budget.
Yes, ma'am.
And what I'd like to ask is, what did you all do to get that number down? What was eliminated? What was cut from the budget in order for you to have a smaller budget?
Well, unfortunately, the state requires 80% of our budget to be personnel. So we cut personnel. I tell a little story. A very good friend of my wife and I basically fired her twice from the school system because she had a job that we cut. As a parent coordinator, we cut that position early on. Then she got a job as a assistant in the media center at the school, and then we made that a half-time position, and then we cut that position. And fortunately, she's still one of my biggest supporters because she tells me all the time that she goes, you know, I know that you did it, what you had to do. Changes like central office staff, we reorganized a few years ago and got rid of extra people that were there. You know, there's not an assistant to the assistants anymore. We cut a lot of the supplements in the coaching, especially in middle and high school, where we, you know, there was a coach and three assistant coaches, and, you know, that's a big part of a well-rounded child, but the school system couldn't afford it. We went from a block traditional schedule to a block schedule. I think that was 36 or 40 employees that we cut. Now, that wasn't the only reason. That was a benefit. But the main reason of that was with the Career Academy, the students that were going from their base high school to the Career Academy with the traditional schedule was losing so much time in their next class for transfer, whereas the block schedule allowed us to send the kids there in the morning or in the afternoon back to their home school and not miss any instructional time. So it was a benefit. The other nice thing about our school system is we do have a detriment. We have an older teaching staff, and so a lot of teachers are retiring. And so as they retire, that allows us to not have to replace them, you know, or have to get rid of teachers. So we've been very lucky that we haven't had to do a lot of layoffs. You know, at any position that we've eliminated has went through attrition.
On that last point that you made about teachers retiring, and I imagine that many more are probably going to retire as these years progress, but so are schools' classrooms, do they still have what they need in order for the children to receive what they need if you're not replacing those teachers?
Well, as you know, with the budget, the governor's office, you know, some people say, well, you know, more money doesn't fix things. Well, but basic money helps. There's, unfortunately, the teachers are having to fill in a lot of the gaps for schoolroom supplies. A lot of the churches are getting together and supporting the schools. I can remember when my wife and I were on the PTO, we had a big fundraiser and we just bought school supplies and took to all the classes. Now, as far as technology, you know, obviously with the SPLOST that we're blessed to have here in Bartow County that is voted on by the taxpayers, that penny per purchase, allows us to upgrade. The SPLOST money helps tremendously. I can't imagine the school system being able to function where they at as far as not having that. We are so blessed as a school system to have that because that provides technology. All our newer schools have Promethean boards. They have whiteboards. They have projectors. They have laptops. You know, so much technology and advantages. So as far as the students not having what they need, no. As far as the budget affecting that, yes, because, you know, the state waived classroom sizes. And so they said, well, you know, you could use, we'd only pay if you had between 20 and 25 kids. And so their reasoning to balance their budget was just to allow us to increase classroom sizes. Well, fortunately, we've done that a little bit, but not a lot. So hopefully as the economy improves, hopefully as the state economy improves, And they've promised now to fully fund our do away with the austerity and fully fund us now. And to Bartow County School System, that's $1.3 million that we may receive next year. And so that would help with some of those class sizes, I believe, in the future.
I want to ask you a question that I think a lot of people have been talking about. And this is the issue of children going to school and being afraid that someone's going to enter the school with a gun, just from watching national media. And so my question is, do you support teachers having guns in schools? If so or if not, what are your ideas about keeping students safe?
Being having a daughter in the school system, especially in elementary school and middle school, being so involved, a lot of our friends are now teachers, and a lot of them were her teachers, and that's how we became friends as parents. And many of the ones here in Bartow County I know shoot regularly, carry guns, go out hunting and fishing, and that's, you know, that's Bartow County. But I wouldn't want to add the extra burden of them knowing that by having a gun, they may have to make the decision that they would have to take a life. And then, you know, who's going to pay for the training? Who's going to pay for the liability? You know, the state was, legislator is very smart into saying, well, we're going to leave it up to the local school board. And I appreciate local control, but if we're not provided with any type of summer training or yearly training to even take a school and say, okay, well, there's five people that's interested, let's do a psychological evaluation, let's, you know, all the stuff that you would have to do to even remotely prepare someone. And then you don't want to tell anybody, I guess, would be the plan, that they have a gun. Or do you? And you say, when you come in this facility, somebody has a gun and they're going to defend that. So what I would support, and fortunately this past, just recently we were able to hire an SRO through the school system, is since we have our own police force, would be to add additional officers. That costs money, obviously. It would be nice if the state would give us money for that. Or it'd be nice if they'd say, well, you can use some of your SPOS funds for that. Currently, we cannot use any SPOS funds for personnel. I was in a meeting the other day, and I won't say who it was, but they made the comment that they think it's local control, but there should be an armed guard at every door, at every school. Okay, well, that means that we need, you know, more officers. We would probably need to triple the officers in the school system. So that means there's probably $750,000 worth of salaries there with benefits. We would need, I don't want to say the exact number, but, and I know what it is, but we would need more squad cars at $40,000 a piece. So, you know, where would that money come from? Well, it's local control. That means it would come from the local budget. So I think arming officers and putting one in each school is the best way to eliminate, hopefully, somebody having that thought of going in there. And not give up the civil liberties of the children, because we don't want barbed wire. We want them to go out and have fun at recess. We want it to be convenient for them to get in and out of school, but we also want to have the safe and security of panic buttons and locked doors and automatic locking doors and all that we've installed in this, all the schools, fortunately, through SPOST. And so where would the money come from? And I have, obviously, ideas on that, too, and that makes me unpopular sometimes when I say that I would rather see us spend the money on that instead of giving all seniors exemption from all school tax. We allow them we don't necessarily allow, I guess that's not a proper way to say it, but, you know, we currently give a $40,000 deduction to seniors over 65 on a $100,000 home. That costs the school system $3 million. A complete exemption for everybody over 65 in Bartow County would cost the school system $5 million. In Cobb County, that number increases by 10% every year. So it's $5 million the first year, then $5.5 million, and $6 million, and $6.5 million, and it, you know, slowly is rising, because the seniors are going to come here and move, and I wouldn't blame them, because our average tax bill in Bartow County is $1,070. In Cobb, Cherokee, where they have exemptions, $1,600 is their average. So maybe there's a compromise. Say, okay, we're giving 40 $1,000 down, maybe a little bit. We raise that a little bit, but then we use some of the extra money that the state is giving us for those officers. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I wouldn't have a problem if a legislative body would come to the school board and talk to us and ask us about exemptions or ask us about school safety. But a lot of times they spend most of their time doing what they do and get reelected and don't worry, come and visit us any at the school system.
So. I've got two questions. I want to make sure I understand you on the school safety. Yes, so ma'am. Are you saying the answer would be if you could make all everyone's dreams come true, be an officer at every door?
Yeah, but an officer at every school. I do not support arming teachers.
Okay.
I think the benefits of having somebody there wouldn't even come close to what all that could cause. I would much rather have somebody with training, somebody with a background in police officer, as all our SROs, they've all been police officers or sheriff's deputies. I think that's who we need to have. If we're going to put an armed guard at each school, I think it needs to be somebody who's trained. And their sole purpose there is to protect that school. Not worrying about if they're in the cafeteria and the gun they need is in their purse lock, or, you know, people said, well, let's lock it. They can lock them in a filing cabinet. Well, that's not going to do any good. What, they got to run down the... I mean, some of our schools are pretty massive. The average shooting is, what, 4 to 5 minutes? No. Unless that officer is up front in that front office or that front area who can see the monitors, see there's a problem, hit the panic button, and run to that position, there's no sense wasting the money. And if you do spend any money on a teacher doing that, you're just not going to have that ability. So I don't support that.
From there, you went into exemption for seniors.
Yes, ma'am.
And as you know, your opponent, that's part of his campaign literature.
Yes, ma'am.
So I want to make sure that I understand you in that, or if you will you clarify for anybody who has a question about your feelings about that, what should or shouldn't happen with exemption for seniors, additional exemption for seniors?
So let me first state that there seems to be some confusion in that the school system has the ability to change the exemption. The school board does not. I cannot change the exemption. The school board could not change the exemption. My opponent cannot change the exemption. What has to happen is the legislative body who represent Bartow County has to originate in the House, would come up with a resolution to put the vote on the ballot for the following November. I would, you know, obviously not this year. And then it would be voted on by the whole, it had to be unanimous. So in other words, if one of the legislators said, I don't support cutting any more funding to the schools, which has been mentioned, then it can't go before the thing. So I don't personally support additional cuts or a whole exemption, but I never have been in my stances, but nobody came and asked me if I would support an increase, especially now that the state has given us another theoretical $1.3 million. Well, if we had a balanced budget the last 3 years and we've lowered the millage rate the last 3 years, then obviously we're doing something right and the graduation is increasing, right? Then obviously we're doing something right with the budget. So if we're getting another $1 million, we're not just going to absorb that. We're going to use that responsibly. So the tone has been from the get-go, from when we did the resolution last year, it's an all or nothing. You know, it's a total senior exemption at age 65, or it's not. Well, I'm not going to give up $5 million of local taxpayer money to support the 14,000 kids just because of an age. Because the numbers are there. The current exemption, 100,000, is roughly 2,000 homes, seniors. A full exemption would be 4,800. Three quarters of the seniors live in a house that's less than $180,000. So why would we exempt everybody when those who really need it with the argument are, you know, half of them, probably most of them Three-quarters of them are covered. And there's a gap. You know, like I said, 200,000 and less is probably, there's seniors that are on fixed income and live in $200,000 houses in our community. And so, you know, let's, maybe we split the difference, compromise. So let's raise it to $60,000 deduction. Well, currently that would cost the school system $750,000. All right, so we take that. The state's giving us $1.3 million back. Well, let's say that we decide to hire some more officers. And so now we've got more SROs taking part of that money and then still have a little cushion for maybe somebody to work with the lower performing schools whose reading level is higher, reading specialist. But it's about compromise about what's important. But I wasn't approached about that. I don't have the control to change it, you know, but come to me and talk to me. But don't give me all or nothing, because all or nothing, I choose the school system. I did last year. I did the year before that. I've done since the get-go. I personally invest all my money in the school system. I personally invest my time in the school system. I don't take a salary. Some people have made that like it's a petty thing. No, I'm here to support the school system. And I feel for the seniors. My in-laws are seniors. They live here. Both my parents are deceased. They have a tight time when their tax bill comes. But lowering the rate for everybody would help them just as much as cutting it out completely.
Okay. My next question is about two suits that were settled. These were sexual harassment suits, and the system settled with the plaintiffs. Can you talk a little bit about, is there a problem in the school system with that? WBHF ran that story. That story got to the Atlanta media. I would imagine if anybody Googled Bartow County school system, that would be one of the first things that came up, definitely in the top five.
Yes, ma'am.
So can you help us understand what happened there? And anybody from the outside looking in, is there a problem?
Well, let me first address your questions, and then we'll get to whether there is a problem or not. Is that fair?
Very fair.
Okay. So, obviously, being on the board, I'm privy to some of information, so I have to talk in general terms because I'm not sure what is public and what is not. But back when I first got on the board, there was a recommendation by the superintendent to transfer somebody out of their position into a different position. Not a demotion, not a cut in pay, just a transfer. That employee, that decision was supported by the whole board at the time, the whole board. So, they're not all on the board now, but the whole board supported the recommendation of the school superintendent. That employee left on their own accord. They had a position here and they left. The employee then turned around and filed a suit against the school system. Don't remember the exact wording of the purpose, but probably whistleblower or something, if I recall the exact thing. So at that point, the insurance company takes over and they hire a lawyer, because that's why the school system has insurance. In the process of the filing, the school system believed that we had done everything that we needed to do for that particular case presented to us by the superintendent. Well, in how it was transferred around, the attorney for the insurance company didn't file a brief in time. And I don't understand what all that means. All I know is that the judge says, well, it's not going to be thrown out because you didn't do what you were supposed to do. So we're going to order you to go to remediation or arbitration or something and try to work this out. So in that point, they start looking into details. Their attorneys ask us for information, our attorneys being the school system's insurance company's attorneys. So during that time, there was some claims of sexual harassment. And so when that came to the board asked to get some more information from the insurance, so that insurance company attorney. And then we asked that our attorney look into that and see if there were any allegations, if they were true, if we could get people that were involved to come in. The policy of the school system is that if you report it to your supervisor, there's a form that you have to sign, because it basically says at the bottom, if turns out to be false allegations, we had the, you know, authority to reprimand you for that.
Okay.
That's for false allegations. None of that was ever done. We could find nothing. And in the meantime, the insurance company attorneys recommended that the insurance company settle. So they settled. Not the school board or the school system has no say in that. Interestingly enough, we obviously have a deductible, the school system, for any lawsuit or insurance claim. But most of that was waived because the insurance company attorney ate all of their costs because it was their mistake that got it. We believe we could have won the lawsuit had it went to court. As you very well know, a lot of lawsuits don't make it to court. So later on, I'd mentioned earlier about reorganization of central office. We were doing some reorganization in central office. A particular person was transferred to another position in the school system. Once again, no deduction in pay, no deduction in contract, legal transfer. That person left the school system and shortly thereafter filed another lawsuit. Allegations were made in that lawsuit. They're kind of both tied together because the first one had claimed that the second one had knowledge of the information. So when the second one came in, once again, our attorney, our school board attorney, the school board asked him to investigate, and also the insurance company's attorney to investigate. There was nothing ever filed. There was nothing ever found. Many conversations were had to try to find any information if any of this sexual harassment had taken place. I was never presented, or anybody presented, any information being on the board of any inappropriateness. It even went so far as the lawsuit went to the Professional Standards Commission against Dr. Harper, Dr. Nelson, who's on the board, the head of our HR department, because she holds a teaching certificate.
And a former principal.
They probably would have named me, but I don't have a teaching certificate, so there really wasn't anything, anybody on the board. As far as I know, Dr. Harper was cleared. Dr. Nelson was cleared. The principal was cleared, and the head of HR were all cleared by the PSC.
But you guys settled the second time as well.
Well, the insurance company settled. Again, out of the control of the school board. We felt that even after the PSC had came back and ruled that there were no findings, the school board felt once again that we would win a case in court. But the insurance company settled. Why? Because, see, the insurance company has to look at all their liability. And if it went to court, their liability could be a lot more, especially if they lose, than if they settle. Well, the other problem is so let's say the school system, we felt we were right, and I believe we were right in both cases. I think we acted legally. But if the school system takes that liability on, then the insurance company has no liability. So if we go to court and we lose, then the taxpayers pay for those losses. So as a school board member, I wasn't, and the other people agreed, the school system is not going to purposely waste taxpayer money and take over the liability to prove that we're right. Well, that's not good stewards of your money. So the insurance company settled. They paid out whatever they paid out. The school systems probably paid the deductible, which I think is less than $10,000 in that particular. I think that's what our thing is. Somebody made the comment the other day, well, I'm sure your insurance went through. No, it hadn't. Actually, I think last year all our insurance was cheaper. It's kind of like this. You're in a car wreck. You think that the other person's liable. You think you're liable. They file a lawsuit against you saying that you did something or ran into them. You know in your heart that you didn't do it. It wasn't your fault. They ran the stop sign or they pulled out in front of you or whatever happened. The insurance, that doesn't mean the insurance company won't settle with them to pay off whatever their claim is because it's cheaper than going to court. It doesn't mean that you're wrong. It just means that the insurance company's liability was less by settling. They do a risk announcement, no different than workman's comp. My company, we've had claims on workman's comp. The insurance company decides what they're going to settle or not.
So then, based on what you're telling me, there's not a problem in the school system with this particular issue.
I have not been notified of any true sexual harassment claims from any of the individuals involved in those lawsuits. Now, have there been claims with inappropriate behavior between teachers and students in the past 8-10 years? Yes, ma'am. But we deal with them. We deal with them appropriately, and they're taken care of, and they're gotten out of the system.
So no problem greater than any other business or any other entity?
No, ma'am. If it was, either I would fix it or I would leave, because I do not tolerate any of that.
I haven't been to the Bartow County School Board meeting in a while. I used to.
Lucky you. It's not as heated as it was when you used to come.
I used to cover them regularly.
Yes, ma'am.
And there's always members of the audience or people who feel like they have some insight and want to expose the board sometimes or inform the public sometimes.
Yes, ma'am.
I asked your opponent about a situation that some people have felt that maybe there's a former school board member who was not reelected who it appears may be attempting to recruit people to run for office or to influence the public. Is it good to have people who are familiar with policies or charters to be able to help inform the public about issues, therefore garnering more interest in the process?
To answer your question about as plainly as I can put it, I think that anybody that has an internal knowledge of the school system is our best advocate. Retired teachers, retired principals, retired substitute teachers, anybody that has the knowledge of Bartow County Schools should advocate, and I would be happy for them to advocate for the school system. Are they all going to be positive? No, ma'am. But I would rather know what the negatives are up front so that we can address them. For example, when we talked about the third grade scores, we know they're out there. The new superintendent knows they're out there. So one of his first things he's going to do is see where we can improve those scores. Now, what I have a problem with is when former board members go out into the community and they say things that aren't true. When they speak of the lawsuit and how the school system spent $500,000 settling sexual law claims. Well, I just explained that's not true. When they go out and say that I don't support senior exemptions and that I don't support the total senior exemption, whether I support it or not, I can't change it. When they go out and claim that my opponent can get those things done, well, he wouldn't have any more power than I currently have with that. So I have a problem with that. Whether it's driven by anger or whatever, I have that issue of personal attacks based on some previous involvement in the school system. I don't think that they should be going to churches and talking incorrectly and negatively about me and harassing parents as they pick up their kids at the Methodist church. I mean, it's a small community. Anything they do, I get a phone call about. But I'm not. That's not who I am. I mean, I've made it very clear my stance on everything. I'm not going to change now for votes. I would feel worse if I lied and made stuff up about my opponent or anybody else or went out and badmouthed anything. I would be embarrassed, and I'm not going to do it. And I just don't think that that is how, I mean, that may be how you win elections, but that's not how you treat voters and people of something as passionate and important as school system. I don't tolerate and I don't believe in it. And, you know, what happens, happens. And the good Lord's going to keep me through it. And if I don't win, then my wife said I can sing on the choir and at church, which I enjoy church. And so it'll work out. But it's disheartening for somebody to sit there and preach about being a Christian and preach about what all the horrible things about that we have done. And I've listed all the great things that we've done for our school system. And then turn around and say that they love children. Well, demoralizing and trying to take down and trying to do all these things for me personally isn't benefiting the school system. maybe instead of doing all that, you would go and talk about all the wonderful things that my opponent could do. And that would be a way to support him and say why he's a better candidate than me, than personally tearing me down. But I'll be fine. I'm pretty tough. I 8 years on the school board, I've been through some thick and thin. And being a contractor, I'm thick and thin. Employer, it's easy anymore.
We're about ready to wrap up.
Yes, ma'am.
And as you said, you have been talking about the positives of the school board, but if someone had to name your legacy from the time you've been on the school board, talk about what you've done, what you're most proudest of from being on the school board, what would that be in 30 seconds?
The proudest thing is I put my money where my mouth is. I'm the president of the Bartow Education Foundation these past 3 years, and every year we give over $100,000 back to the school system. There's not a project that I haven't done. There's not a piece of popcorn I hadn't popped, a balloon I haven't blown up. I've cooked barbecue lunches for the teachers at Cass Middle the past 3 years when my daughter was there for teacher appreciation. Next week, I'm doing a barbecue at the high school where my daughter goes to school for teacher appreciation. I don't take a salary. I've given over, sadly to say, $50,000 to the school system between me and my company. I support this school system, and I support everything it believes in because those children. And I put my money where my mouth is. And if there's a problem, we work to resolve it. And that's all I need to do. It's not a political stepping stone. 4 more years, I'm gone. I brought the Reach Georgia program to the school system where the eighth graders are getting promissory. Tomorrow we're doing the next cohort for next year. Foundation is giving away three $1,000 scholarships to graduating seniors. I have another one tonight at Woodland. We're giving $4,000 from partnering with Vista Metals to the Career Academy for graduate. All those are things that I've done. Ask anybody in the school system. They'll tell you all that I've done. It's a passion. It's not about me. It's about the kids. And the good Lord has blessed me and given me all that I need to accomplish that. And I'm going to use that to His glory. And if it doesn't work out, then He's got a plan greater than I don't even know. But I'll know here shortly.
My last question. In 30 seconds, you said, give me 4 more years. What is it that you want to do? What goal do you have in mind as you look into the next 4 years? What is it that you'd like to accomplish with the Bartow County School System?
There's some things I haven't finished. I mentioned the Reach Georgia Scholarship Program. That's just in its infant stages. It started last summer, and I was the one who got the state to look to the foundation. I want to help the new coordinator with that, get business ties. I've come to this radio station and met people to meet with that. I need some time to get that done, and being on the board will help me do that. I want to continue helping the Career Academy and growing those programs, growing those scholarships that we got those partners with. Dr. Saban and I talk continuously about what can I do for your weld program? What can you do? That's who I am. That's what I do. I need to help make that successful because when I came on board, that charter was started, and I feel that I need to leave that to where that's going to be successful. The foundation, Ms. Dodd, does a wonderful job. But we need these scholarships and all these other things that we do is to make that successful when I leave. And then most importantly right now is this new superintendent. He needs to know that there's a stable board behind him that has been there through thick and thin, and there's been a lot of thick, and to say, hey, we got your back, but here's the landmines. Here's where we have problems. If the person coming in doesn't know anything about the internal workings of the school system, how are they going to be able to help this new superintendent from another county come in and be successful? They're going to be learning the job just like he is. And I think that's one of the major selling points is I've proven what I can do. I've proven my commitment. Allow me to get this new superintendent because I don't want him to be a 2-year superintendent. He's young enough where it can be 10, 12, 14 years. I mean, that's what we need, stable. When the board is stable and when the superintendent is stable, then all the other issues that we worry about just kind of go away, and the teachers can do what they need to do. And that, I think that's important for the school system and for this community, and I hope I have the opportunity to be that person.
I like to ask you a quick question. It's a fly on the wall type question. As you were interviewing these superintendents, I remember situations where superintendents were coming in and there was no money, or their job was to help balance the budget, or superintendents coming in where the graduation rate was much lower than, say, some of the systems around us. This superintendent, was it to say, we got the boat steady, keep this boat going, or fly this plane, or were there major issues that this superintendent would be facing coming in? Is my question clear?
Well, I guess your question is, have we kind of fixed everything to where he can make it successful, or are there issues that nobody knows about that he's going to run into? One of the reasons that, and if you've, from covering the board in the past, you know that we aren't always a 5-0 vote board. Sometimes there's 3-2s, and that's fine, you know, because we have different viewpoints about the school system. One thing that made us all excited about this new superintendent is that he came in with an excitement about our school system. He came in with a book and told us what we were doing great and where we need to work on. He came and visited the other day, central office staff. He had never met the superintendent until after we had named him. And so he came in and kind of eased those things and said, hey, you're doing great things here. You know, you can look at test scores, you can look at technology, you know, you got a one-to-one, you know, Cobb County would love to have a laptop in every fourth to 12th grader. We, you know, we'd love the Career Academy, we'd love to have all these wonderful things. So let's not focus on all the wonderful things that are going on, but, you know, pat ourselves on the back. But let's get down there into the details. Let's get down in them reading scores. You know, what do we need to be doing in kindergarten to fix those scores in third grade? You can't wait till third grade. You got to do them. You know, how are the kids coming into us? Or do we need to do more in pre-K? Do we need to have more pre-K? You know, that was the finite details that he was able to get in from all his experience of all that he had done and focus on subgroup of stuff that I don't understand. But I knew with that passion and that thing saying, hey, we're going to move forward. I'm here for you. I'm not here for 2 years. I'm here for 10, 15. Let's make this thing. Why aren't we the best? We can be the best. He said it can be to where other systems are looking to us, and that's what he wants. And I think that was one of the reasons where it was so easy for us to be a 5-0, because we all knew that though we had differences, we knew that that was what we wanted.
It's time to wrap this up, John. Can you will you close it for us with some final statements?
You know, it's funny. A lot of people came and told us what all they thought a superintendent should have as we replaced that superintendent. They wanted somebody with experience, somebody who thinks outside the box, who can effectively operate in a budget and be a Christian person. Well, why wouldn't you want the same for your school board member? I have the experience. I have the passion. I have the commitment to the school system. I've proven it. I have a commitment to the community. I didn't do Dancing with the Stars so that I could learn how to tap and go out in front of public, which I do not enjoy. But I did it for the homeless shelter, and I did it for the Backpack Buddies program. And I raised over $23,000, which I think is still a record. I have a commitment to the school system. I have spent 8 years pouring my soul, money, and time into the school system, teachers, and children. I've never run for political office. I don't ever want to run for political office. I want to support this school system and leave it better than it was when I left. I've done that so far. I think it's better than when I came here 8 years ago. But there's just a couple more things that we need to do as a school system, as a foundation member, and as a community to make it where Bartow County is one of the best. And I think I can do that, and I would ask for their vote on May 22nd.
Thank you so much for speaking with us.